Cool. Thank you, Kippy. What is up, everyone? Welcome to the 9th episode of Dungeons & Dragonites. I'm your host, SBJ, and below me is Travis, who is playing Wendy.
You got it right.
And next to Travis is Jeff, who's playing Emojis.
Sorry, everyone just stopped for a second. I heard Emo, and I figured he's talking about me.
I got you.
If anyone looks like the emo here, it's me.
Next to Jeff is Logan, who's playing Stant.
Did you go 3 for 3? This is crazy.
No, I got
the last time he was pretty good too.
Yeah, but he's never gone 100%. This
is true. True.
What's your own name, real quick?
I can't answer that confidently.
Almost.
Sleeve.
Sleeve.
And okay. My fault. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do all the controls here. Above Logan is our DM, Greg.
Hello.
And we're going to put just a small warning out for all you early birds that arrive to the stream on time. If the stream gets really wonky, if the software we're using freaks out, we might end it early or might delay it. Greg is recording in a hotel room. He's not in his normal area of dungeons.
We've been
video chatting for the last 20 minutes and everything has been pretty good. So if you're watching us now or you're listening to the audio version, it might not sound as good as it normally does. Not that this ever sounds perfect because it's live and so many things can go wrong, but I think that's what we have for you guys before we get into things. Yeah, and this is episode 9. I already said that. Dungeons & Dragonites, I already said that. Review us in iTunes if you haven't. And Greg will give us a short recap of what happened last time. Oh, what's up, Travis?
Can I give two disclaimers? First, if you hear the sound of yelling, it's because there are children outside of my apartment now who I think they're trying to send each other into space. Like, one has, like, a helmet on. And they're like pushing each other. It's sort of like Kerbal Space Program-esque. So that's disclaimer number one. Disclaimer number two is I've been thinking about the position my character is in like all day. And I don't think she would say anything that wouldn't have a swear word in it. And so what I've done is I've taken a Pokemon name that sounds like a swear word. And I'm going to say that. But if you're like listening with kids and you don't even want that, there's my little disclaimer.
I would be curious if a like 8-year-old could enjoy our stream or like the audio version. Greg, when did you start playing Dungeons and Dragons?
When I was 9.
So an 8-year-old, no. Give him one year.
Then all bets are off.
All right. Well, let's get into things. Greg, why don't you give us a small recap?
All right. I will give you a small recap. It started with you fighting a bunch of goblins in a room in which SPJ decided to lie down and play with breakfast and Deep Pepper and made Wendy really mad. But when isn't Wendy really mad? So you went into the shrine room and you talked to the Giratina statue and Meepo got super cute and Emojis got almost as cute as they were infused with dragon power charisma. And Stant went around as Lairon eating tiles and then vomiting them up because they were specially made to not be eaten by Lairon.
And goblins.
And they're goblins. And then you went into the library, which was not the super library. It was the one library. And you found his crazy man diary about dragons and realized that he went crazy. And then you went down to the tunnel and up, and then you waited for a bunch of goblins to be destroyed by twig blights and decided not to intervene and let all the twigs kill the goblins and just watched it because it was cool. And then you went in and found the Torterra tree, and you ran into the two dead members of Ephraim's party, Mary and Odwick, who are currently being reanimated by twigs that are pouring out of their mouth and up on their head. You ran into Logan's ex, Buck, who explained that
Logan's ex is a fictional character.
And he described that there are two apples that appear in the tree. Half the year it's the Healy apple, the other half of the year is the Death apple. But all the time, the seeds in the apple, when planted, create the little corrupted Tangela that you have been fighting. This is my hand signal for corrupted Tangela. And then there was some drama about, you know, Buck and Stant, and Buck told Wendy to pipe down. And she got real mad, and then she charged him, but the corrupted Tangela intervened and stopped her. And then Buck got super excited because the Chosen were here. So your general guess is that he plans to sacrifice you to gain immortality, because he said as much. And we are going to start from there in combat.
Did we already roll for initiative?
We have not. I have, because I got 13 million things to roll for, but everybody else needs to roll for initiative.
I got a 6.
I got an 8.
We are on fire.
There you go.
Solid.
Greg, don't kill us, please. We haven't even started the episode yet.
So nobody is moving quick tonight.
To be fair, I'm restrained by demon twigs, so you can't expect too much of me.
I don't remember that happening.
Yeah, they just buffeted you back. They're not holding you down just yet.
Oh, okay.
To be fair, I almost always go last.
True. Logan, what is your dex?
It is 11.
SPJ, what is your dexterity?
It's plus 2. Normal is 15.
Okay. Three different people, all who are going on 8.
Oh, I was going to ask how you break ties, but you're clearly doing it right now.
It's weird because, like, in most games, it's whoever rolled the highest, but in this one, it's whoever rolled the least, but still made it to that because your natural skill is that you're faster. So since you have a higher dexterity than me, you'll be going first.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. You're just a slight bit faster.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah. And bringing up the rear is Wendy. And we're off. The first to go is Buck. So Buck jumps off the stump that he was standing on, wanders back to stand next to the Torterra tree, and then he sort of motions out in front of him. And all around Wendy, Meepo, Ephraim, Emojis, SPJ, and Stant, vines erupt out of the ground and start attacking and tang everybody. So what this effectively does is it's a 20-foot square around you, so most of you are in the center of the square. Moving through that is difficult terrain. So it costs double your movement to get through it. But they are trying to grab you and hold you down, so before you can even move, you'll need to make a strength saving throw. If you fail, you cannot move. You are being held by vines, and now Wendy is possibly being held by vines.
Wait, if you can't move, can we still attack?
You can still attack if you have ranged. You just can't close in.
Gotcha. And you said it's 30 foot?
20.
20 foot?
So for most of you, you have to wade through 10 feet of it to get out. So basically there's 20 feet of movement is wasted to get out. Hmm. All right, and Ephraim is next. Ephraim tried to break free of the entangling vines. He failed, so instead he decided to fire off a sacred flame spell at Odwick, because he never really liked that guy, who's now a zombie. Being a zombie, he doesn't dodge very well, so the zombie did not get out of the way and took a big shining flash of radiant damage in its face.
Wow, that worked!
He took 8 points of damage from that, but the zombie is still standing. And that is the end of Ephraim's turn. The twigs, not surprisingly, can move freely amongst their master's entanglement. So 3 of them decide they are going to attempt to kill Wendy, and 3 of them decide, oh, we're going to attempt to kill Stant. So let's deal with the ones attempting to kill Wendy first. So they claw and gnash their way forward, and the first one hits Wendy.
Just my luck.
For 3 points of damage.
Oh, that's not bad.
The second one misses Wendy completely, just sort of shimmers off the armor as it slashes out with its claws.
Its claws? There. It's
decrepit claws, whatever. Oh, and the other one does not succeed at either. Wendy is amazingly armored, and they do not succeed. So the next three decide to go after Stant, because their master is mad at Stant for a wide variety of totally fine reasons. First one does not succeed at stabbing Stant in the side of the thighs. Wow. Neither does the next one. Just getting worse as I go down. Worse.
So they offer to go. I hung out with these dumb things for years and years. He's been perfecting these for a long time.
Perhaps they sense the torn nature of their master, but they do not strike at Stant successfully, and Stant is fine. However, Krogunk, sitting up in the Tartarian tree, easily leaps the distance from the tree to land next to Stant. And he does the Brock patented poison fist and tries to stab Stant in the side and just punches Stant incredibly hard in the side. So Stant takes 5 points of damage.
All right.
And you need to make a constitution saving throw.
All right. Constitution, huh? All right. How I do this? No.
All right. So you do not fight off the effects of the poison jab. You take another 5 points of damage.
Oh, no.
And you are poisoned for the next 30 minutes.
Oh, no.
So being poisoned, you have a disadvantage on all of your attack rolls and all of your ability checks for the next 30 minutes.
Yeesh.
Yeesh, Dan.
Guys, I'm about to drop.
That brings us to Emojis.
Well, I would assume, like all of us, I'm just absolutely astonished by everything that's going on, and a lot of chaos. Can I witch bolt Buck?
So the first thing you need to do is make me a strength check to not be restrained by the vines.
I have 0 + 2 in athletics. So what am I rolling?
So it's a saving throw. So your strength is 0, so it's just a 20 with nothing added to it.
Roll.
No. So the vines sort of wrap up around your legs and start grabbing onto your arms. You are restrained, so any attack you attempt to make will be at a disadvantage because they are blocking your arms and sort of pulling your hands away from each other, trying to stop you from casting spells. You have disadvantage. You roll a d20 twice and have to take the lower of the two rolls. But yes, you can attempt a witch bolt.
So it's just the lower of the two?
Yep.
All right, I'm pretty confident.
Disadvantage? No problem.
I'm pretty confident that if I rolled twice, I would definitely be able to hit the boss of this dungeon with both of them.
I believe that that Arceus will blast me in this RNG roll.
We'll see.
So
gotta learn the hard way sometimes.
You guys watch. This is gonna be awesome. D20 plus. Where's my spell?
I believe it should be +6.
Okay, that one's probably good.
Keep going.
The next one.
Whoa!
All right, so despite vines wrapping around his arms and legs, Emojis fights forward and shoots out a lightning bolt that strikes Buck right in the chest.
Well, you
roll your damage.
We haters gonna hate.
Getting all Buck wild up in here.
So you do 10 points of damage, which forces him to make a concentration check to keep the spell up.
Oh, cool.
Which, Buck being the pro that he is, he makes it without a problem, and then dangling vines still remain.
is I wish emojis... this stream wasn't rated G. I have a really great joke.
So that frees us from emojis and brings us to SBJ.
I have to do a strength check first.
Correct. However, Deep Pepper does not.
Oh.
Deep Pepper can fly, so he can get out of there and do whatever he needs to.
All right.
But
well,
you do.
Let me do my strength check before I situationize something. Words. 1d20 plus 1 would be my saving throw. 20 d's is what I wanted to roll. 14.
Right. You save. You are not restrained by the vines at all. All
right. So my character gets out of the vines. I turn around. I look at Wendy. I point at Wendy, Deep Pepper patting my back, and I go, "I told you I got you this time." And I turn back around, and I tell Deep Pepper to do a leak slash on Buck. D20 plus...
Yep.
I got a 12.
Deep Pepper flies over everything, lands next to Buck, and just slams him into the right in the shoulder, and it actually hits.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, Deep Pepper. Let me roll my damage, which is a d6 plus 1. And 5.
That's go Deep Pepper.
Deep Pepper, Deep Pepper, Deep Pepper.
And that forces him to make a concentration check to keep the spell going, which he fails.
Nice.
So as Deep Pepper slaps him with the leak, he's completely taken aback by the fact that this thing just flew across and slapped him with a big giant leak enough that he can't keep his concentration, and all of the vines just start wilting and falling down. So nobody is restrained anymore. And that...
Deep Pepper saved the day.
Brings us to Meepo. So Meepo leaps forward, and he seems to have this sort of crazy look in his eye, and he holds his hands out and he puts them together like this, and just giant gouts of flame in a 15-foot cone explode out from his hands, catching 3 of the twig blights.
Sweet.
All have to try to make dexterity saving throws to not be burnt to a crisp.
That beautiful baby boy.
I would normally be encouraging Meepo right now, but Wendy is too in her head for reasons that'll make sense on her turn.
The first one does not succeed. Next one really does not succeed. And the last one does succeed. But there's so much fire damage because he does...
Holy cow!
10 points of damage!
That's
and
fire.
2 of them just explode and turn into ash and... come crashing to the ground. And I need to check one thing because the other one may not escape, because I forget if it does half damage on a save. If it does do half damage on a save, it doesn't really matter because it's going to die anyways. Yep, it takes half damage on a successful save, but since he did so much damage, it doesn't matter in the last twig bite in front of Wendy just burns to a crisp and falls to the ground. And Meepo sort of stands proudly at Wendy's side with a grin on his face, thrilled at what he just did, rich with power, and his dance turn.
Whew. So we're really gonna do this, Buck? You really gonna try and kill me and my friends? That's the new hot thing.
That's the plan.
That's a terrible plan. You have awful plans all the time. Manipulate people and mean to them.
We've had this conversation and I'm done talking.
All right, fine. I'm done being able to talk. I turn into a Lyran.
Okay.
Can I run to Buck?
He is 60 feet away, and you'd have to move past 3 twig blights, so you could get halfway to him, because Lyran can only move 25, and the twig blights are considered difficult terrain. So you can get actually to the zombie Mary easily, but not to Buck.
I guess I'll go attack a zombie.
Okay.
All right. The 14 hit.
You have disadvantage because you're poisoned.
Oh, I'm so poisoned. But now I'm steel type.
Doesn't matter. You're poisoned before steel type.
Okay, fine.
I'm soon enough to get that type.
So you run up and chomp at the zombie Mary and do not succeed because the poison's sort of coursing through your system and you kind of go, ah.
All right, well, I'll just try it again. Oh, how about that time?
Right now. 15 and versus 20. So the 15, that is a hit.
Yeah. For 6.
All right. So you sort of chomp on the zombie, and it sort of parts of it come off in your mouth, but it's still looking pretty hardy for having been chomped on by a Leyron.
Yeah.
And so now the zombies get to go.
Well, do I get to save against this poison?
No. You're just poisoned for 30 minutes.
For 30 minutes? I don't... What?
You failed your save.
Even as my sweet steel type?
Yep. Even as your sweet steel type. Okay, so Zombie Mary's going to attack this Leyron. It's not really sure what it is, but since zombies don't think so well anyways, it's just going to pound its undead fists into your back as best it can. But it's not very good. It just sort of hits, and there's like a little metal sound, like a bell ringing, and the hand kind of slides off. Does not succeed at all. Zombie 1 hobbles towards Ephraim, but they move so slowly and so poorly, it only closes about half the distance before it gets to Ephraim and cannot go any further because they're just shambling piles of death. And that brings us to Wendy.
So before I do the in-character stuff, the Meepo killed one of the twig things, one of the Tangela that was close to me. Right?
So it killed all three that were in front of you attacking you.
Oh, he killed all three of them. Okay. So the closest thing to me would probably be a zombie then, right?
Yes. The zombie has closed within your range.
Okay. So then ever since... the thing at the end of last session where Buck said something along the lines of pipe down little girl or something like that to Wendy. Wendy's sort of been having like flashbacks, and this is a part of Wendy's backstory that I've only talked to with Greg, but I see her always wanting to project her own importance being a result of the fact that when she was a kid growing up in this like rich and important family, they kept telling her like, no, know your place, like kids should be seen, not heard, that sort of thing. And she always felt like she had something to say, but she was constantly being told, no, this isn't the appropriate place for you to talk. So when Buck said that to her, she's having flashbacks to that. So as the as SBJ's attack breaks his concentration on the vine spell, Wendy points at Buck as she sort of shakes her head out of all these flashbacks, and she points at Buck and she says, I'm going to talk whenever I worm a damn well, please. And I take my warhammer in both hands to the nearest zombie and I attack it.
All right.
11.
That's a hit.
Whoa. Okay.
All right. So Wendy charges forward, hammer, and just slams into the side of the zombie. The zombie stumbles back to the side a little bit. Parts of its body are sort of cracking and falling apart. But it's still standing.
Okay.
But it looks very badly hurt. And that was the first round of combat tonight. So we're going into round 2. Oh, man. So with this... Pepper next to Buck, and he's lost that spell. He looks over at Leyron Stant and says, oh, Stant, you're so predictable. And he focuses eyes and sort of starts chanting under his breath. And all of the metal plates on Leyron start to heat up and burn.
You can do heat metal on a creature?
Oh!
So you take 10 points of damage.
Oh, because it's super effective.
Wah, wah. Hey, that's a good podcast.
And that's all he's going to do this turn.
You guys, you should really, really break that concentration because he just like wills it to be hotter.
And that brings us to Ephraim. So Ephraim charges forward to stand next to Wendy's side. Now that he's free, he doesn't like using his spells if he doesn't have to, because he's pretty bad at them, except for that last time when he actually did really well. So he is going to stab at Audric and hits. And he just slams his sword into the zombie Audric. And for a moment, you think the zombie is going to fall completely apart. But suddenly more vines sort of spread out and start stitching things back together. And start holding pieces together as if it sort of sensed a fatal blow and is taking actions to correct that and mend itself as best it can. There are three twig blights who are behind Leyron Stant as he pushed past, so they are going to continue their attack. I stab at thee with vines, says one, and it does not succeed in any way, shape, or form.
Wait, they talk?
No. But if it could talk, that's what you would hear. But instead, it comes out as a...
What's your name?
Remember last week when we were funny?
All of them do not know how to deal with your metal shell, and it's hot to the touch anyway, so their vines sort of hit it, and it's like, and they sort of skitter off, mostly angry that that didn't work. Krogunk leaps away from Stant to land next to SBJ and does the patented Brock unapproved fist of poison and crits. So SPJ is focused on D Pepper. He kind of turns around to see this fist just punching him into the side, in which SPJ takes 10 points of damage from that punch.
What if I only have 10 points of health?
Then you fall unconscious.
Hope we're all ready to be saved by Meepo, because it's not looking good for anybody else.
So from the powerful punch of Krogunk, SPJ collapses to the ground, and immediately Deep Pepper flies to his side and goes into a defensive stance.
I guess my turn's over.
And that brings us to Emojis.
My turn.
Your
turn. I get to roll for damage from my Witch Bolt, correct?
Correct.
Because I hit, remember?
Yeah.
I fought through my concentration because Arceus was with me. So I roll another 1d12 on Buck.
Yep.
Well, we got 4 damage. So, right?
Yep.
Cool. But now I get to also choose another action, right? Like Firebolt?
No. Keeping up Witch Bolt, I think, is a full action to do damage. Let me verify. I'm pretty sure 3 damage.
I had that spell when I played a Warlock, and I'm pretty sure it takes your action... that applying the damage again the following turn is your action.
Yes, to deal damage.
Yeah, it says the spell ends if you use your action to do anything else. Spell also ends if the target is ever outside spell range or if it has total control over you. Alrighty, my turn's over.
Pass. Alright, but he makes his save against concentration and keeps the heat metal spell up. SBJ, his side...
It's okay.
His side crashed and cracked. Must make our first ever death saving throw.
Oh my gosh.
So you just need to roll a straight d20 and hope you get a 10 or better.
I should have cast Mage Armor on SBJ. Whoops.
I didn't think anything was going to do 10 points of damage.
SBJ actually is heroic this fight. So that's something.
At least I know if I died, I won up 20 before I did.
Oh no.
I rolled a 1.
Yes.
That counts as 2.
Yes, you did.
Failures.
So you have failed your save against death twice.
Oh no.
You only get 3. So you are not doing very good at all.
Oh no.
I'm so sad. When do I roll again on my next turn?
So Deep Pepper is incredibly concerned at what's happening right now. And that brings us over to Meepo. Meepo darts to the side, holds out his hands again at the last set of three twigs, forcing them all to attempt to dodge out of the way of his burning hands, which two of them do, but it may not matter because it still does so much damage. We'll see if it makes any difference if he rolls Aspore. No. So even saving, they try to get out of the way, but his fire is just incredibly strong, oh, souped man. Up from dragon power.
Thank God for me, but that's all I got to see.
And he takes care of the last set of twig blights as they just sort of burn into dust and fall to the ground.
Adventure, we're just going to give Meepo a tattoo and just call him Mr. Five.
Dude, he's chosen as far as I'm concerned. Like...
And that brings us to Stant. Stant is next to Zombie Mary.
How far away is Buck?
Buck is just far enough away that you can't get to him this turn because you have to move past a zombie.
Well, but I can do a running action, right? Can I do an athletics check to jump at him?
Yes, but because you're poisoned, you have disadvantage on it.
Jump.
We can't all be emojis. And it's just really bad.
Maybe I'll rub off on my, maybe I'll rub out that my magical rub off on, it'll rub off on you.
What would I use to do athletics? Is it strength? Can I do strength?
Yep.
Well, that's a plus two. What's my difficulty gonna be looking like there?
15.
Well, Stant is really mad that he said I'm predictable. So I'm just going to go and try and jump my burning self into him.
Okay.
Let's see how this goes.
I got to roll higher than a 15.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. Just be ready for that. Let's see how badly I actually fail, because it'd be even worse. Oh, come on.
that's like...
We can't all be emojis, though.
So you attempt to sort of leap away, and as you're leaping, the zombie sort of grabs your leg and puts you down on the ground so that you don't actually go very far at all. It sort of catches your sort of heavy... Wait, and you're not used to moving in this body, so you attempt it, and then you just sort of hit the ground. You've only gotten maybe 10 feet closer to Buck.
Was that my move action, or was that everything?
That was your action. You can still move, and you'd still be 10 feet away from Buck.
Well, I guess I do that.
All right, so you trudge across and get closer to good old Buck. The zombie trudges behind you since you're both moving so slowly and attempts to slam its fist into your metallic heated back and connects on your side for 4 points of bludgeoning damage.
Am I resistant to that? Is that why you said that?
No.
Since I'm steel.
And zombie... Audric decides he's going to attack his old friend Ephraim and also tries to punch Ephraim in the face and succeeds in punching him squarely in the face for 4 points of damage. Although Ephraim is feeling quite hardy, it still hurts a little bit. And that brings us to Wendy.
All right.
If you can kill this zombie to get me away, I can save SBJ.
What's that?
Ephraim lets you know that if you can take care of this zombie,
take
care of SBJ.
I was going to take an opportunity and do Spare the Dying, but if Ephraim's got it, then that's fine by me.
Wendy's like, I don't want to take care of him.
And in response to Ephraim, I say... that Joker's going to be the death of us.
likely.
I get my shield back from where I had it stored when I did the two-handed attack earlier. I turn to Meepo And I say, cover Ephraim, and then I attack the zombie once more.
Okay.
Well, what if I don't kill it, and then I'm doing it.
You don't have a choice.
It could be rough, though. Could be rough. But maybe Ephraim can do something anyway.
16, that's a hit, right?
Yeah, that's a hit.
Okay.
Go, Wendy.
And that's a 10 damage.
Yeah! Crit.
All right, so Wendy sort of hauls back, hammer in one hand, shield out, just slams into the already kind of wound that the vines are creeping out of, and just smashes them, and the entire zombie just shakes and falls into little bits and pieces. There's weird flesh and vines all sort of mingled together. It sort of dissolves in front of your faces, and then eventually metal. There's nothing. And that brings us to Buck. Buck, who is continuing his icy glare.
It's not icy, it's hot.
It's hot.
Icy hot?
Icy to enact the pain and make it last for hours.
And you take 25 points of damage.
25.
How much health does Lyron have?
Well, not enough. I am a dead Stant now.
Not enough.
No. So, Stant, you pop back to whatever health you had as Stant before you changed.
Oh. Right, but I keep taking the damage, right?
Oh, correct. You take whatever's left.
I'm down. I was
right.
One.
Stant's body shakes and loses its Lairon shape, and he passes out on the ground. In front of, and Buck just cackles evilly.
Somebody find Nurse Joy.
Ephraim runs over to SBJ's side.
Did Ephraim have to make a decision whether to go to SBJ or Stant?
But he's already made the decision to go to SBJ.
He should go to SBJ. I don't have any. I don't have any death fails.
Yeah.
And SBJ has two.
What is it? Oh, like so? Your next turn, you're going to get an opportunity to roll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you get above a 10 on a d20 three times before you get below a 10 three times, then you get back with like, or you stabilize.
You're at zero and you aren't dying anymore, but you don't get up.
So you have to roll a 10 three times in a row before
Not three times in a row, just three times before I roll less than a 10 three times.
Sadly, he is not great at spellcasting.
Oh, no.
But I mean, enough to keep him alive.
But he holds his hands over SVJ, and SVJ heals back 3 hit points and is no longer dying.
Mm. I'll be able to spare the dying on you, Stant, pretty soon when it's my turn.
All the twigs have been taken care of. Krogunk, more
there's
than happy
two,
with
just
how,
two fighting.
How
Don't even
great
the dying.
He's been doing this entire time. Leaps next to Emojis and does the patented.
I know what I'm going to do here.
Patented punch in the side, and we'll see if he hits.
When can I cast a one reaction?
In reaction to a successful attack.
Okay, cool. Gotcha. I'm ready. I have my
book. All right, so he punches at you, and it will hit.
I want a shield.
All right. So immediately as your reaction, cast shield. So this invisible barrier of force adds 5 to your AC, and Krogunk's fist just stops in midair, and he pulls back and he glares at you. Clearly,
I stick my tongue out. I'm like this.
Angry that he doesn't get to take another life.
Now that means my witch bolt stopped, all right?
No. So you now will make
multitasking.
You didn't take any damage, so you do not lose your concentration.
I don't know what that means, but okay, that sounds cool.
So concentration means so you can concentrate on a spell and only one spell at a time, and you can still cast other spells while keeping that locked in your brain. You only have to make concentration rolls if you actually take damage. Damage causes you to lose focus enough that you drop the spell, but you didn't take any damage.
Now the whole Buck fight thing makes sense. Gotcha.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So
I just deflected that damage and still maintaining my attack on Buck.
Correct.
Right.
Beast mode.
Awesome. All the juggling spells over there.
And it is Emojis' turn.
Emojis and Meepo are really getting things done.
Yeah. Well, I
did hit like every time, though, to be fair. Mine doesn't look like fire. Mine is just a warhammer every time.
Whatever, Winnie. It's not as impressive.
Greg,
yes.
Can I change the... If I were to re-roll Witch Bolt to hit another... Do I have to re-roll Witch Bolt to hit a new target?
Correct. You would drop the concentration against Buck and
spend another
spell slot to attack a different target.
I would just keep it on Buck.
I was gonna say, I think I just want to keep it on Buck.
Okay.
And I'll just roll my damage.
Plus, it'll make him maybe have to recon. I guess he's not casting heat metal anymore.
All right. So the lightning bolt, still focused on Buck, does another pulse. Buck sort of staggers backwards, grabs at his chest where the lightning bolt was, glares at you, and then passes out.
Yeah!
Nice.
That's a boss kill. Way to go, Moses.
One spell.
Because of my Witch Bolt 2 turns ago where I fought through whatever the concentration thing.
Yeah.
And SPJ, who is now awake again, and D-Pepper seems to be less concerned about what you're your impending death, and can actually do whatever you want him to do.
I obviously I'm alive.
I like to think you say that in character. Obviously I'm alive.
I tell some story quickly to myself, comparing how it reminded me of the time I broke my neck and I thought I was dying. D-Pepper, of course, has heard the story millions of times and I've seen it happen, but I tell him to do a leak slash on the Krogunk.
Is it just Krogunk that's left?
Krogunk and one zombie.
Okay.
Is it Mary still?
Zombie Mary.
Zombie Mary.
21.
Bad. Oh, yeah. So D-Pepper, enraged at this Krogunk for attacking it. Partner, its best friend, its asset, the thing that makes him money and gets him food, charges over with his leak and just bashes him over the head, and we'll see if he actually does any damage.
6.
Yes.
Wow. There
takes out his anger and rage and just bashes him with a leak.
Don't mess with my
don't money. Mess up the grave train. Meepo, seemingly exhausted, like focuses on his hands, but no more giant gouts of flame are coming out. Changes to one finger and shoots a firebolt at the zombie. And I have his stats somewhere in my giant mess. There it is.
Here comes OTK Meepo.
And just it's a terrible shot. But it still hits because zombies don't move very well. And it is 1d10 for Firebolt.
No!
Nope. He seems pretty tapped. His power is waning. He's just like confused. And
he has been like just gushing gouts of flame everywhere.
He's got sweat kind of pouring down his reptilian.
Buddy, you've already done a lot. Don't worry about it.
He killed 6.
You've already done more than the rest of us combined. It's right. Fine.
That brings us to Stance first death saving throw.
All right,
oh,
fine.
I forgot all about this.
Yeah, it's fine. I can't lose on one, so. Hey, a save.
Okay. He saved, so he has 1 in the positive column. He is not yet dead.
As a newbie D&D player, Greg, does the... Yes. Creatures attack somebody who is attempting to like revive themselves, or is it just
It depends on the creature. There are some creatures out there that will continue their attack, so if you take any damage when you are trying to not die, you fail automatically. So in your case, if Krogunk attacked you again, you're a helpless creature, so the attacks automatically hit and crit, and since they crit, it eats up 2 death saving throws. So if Krogunk had attacked you again, we didn't get a chance to, you would have died.
Good to know.
It depends on if the thing's really going for the kill or if it just wants to incapacitate you.
Normally, if it's like a wild creature, they are not, you know, like they got you down, they're trying to get the other threats away. But if it's like an intelligent creature like Krogunk, and if they are mean like Krogunk, then they probably would.
Also, some pack animals, like packs of wolves, are known to do that. Like they'll get one down and drag it off and eat it. Zombies are known to do that as well. We'll do it a lot.
If I didn't kill Buck, would Buck have tried to kill Stant, or will we never know?
We may never know.
Try.
Well, he's unconscious. He's not dead, so we can ask him when he wakes up if we really want to know.
So that was Stant saving throw. Zombie Mary. Who is Zombie Mary by?
Wait, did all these zombies have names?
Well, it was his friend Mary. It was Zombie Optic and Zombie Mary. Zombie Mary is still alive.
When we go to the bar playing at a band,
Meepo is a problem. Zombie Mary closes the distance from a firing Meepo and attempts to punch Meepo in the head. However, supercharged, empowered, charismatic Meepo just dodges out of the clumsy punch of Zombie Mary, and he darts back and sort of lets out a little cackle that's kind of cute and innocent, but also kind of creepy and evil. But he does it anyways. And that brings us to Wendy.
Am I close enough to, am I 25? Is Stant within 25 feet of me?
Yes.
All right. Is anything going to try to attack me if I go over that way?
No.
Okay. Then in that case, I'm going to, I head over to Stant, look down at the holy symbol of Xerneas that I have in my pocket, and I say, I'm going to need a little more help. I cast Spare the Dying. So you touch a living creature that has 0 hit points, the creature becomes stable. So you're not alive, but you're not going to die.
All right, so the mystic energy sort of surrounds Stant's prone form, and you no longer have to make death saves.
Yay.
You just got saved. You should be a little bit more excited than that.
Well, he's still unconscious.
He's still unconscious. He can't do anything. Buck, however, is dying.
Darn right he is.
And Buck massively failed his save.
That's the second crit fail on a
crit
death
fail
save.
On a death
That's
save.
Wild.
Yeah. Seeing that SBJ is safe, Ephraim just sort of enraged and dealing with the fact that his friends have been experimented on, just sort of focuses on Buck, its prone form, and casts Sacred Flame on a helpless target. And Buck dies.
But wait, prone. So he has a disadvantage.
But he has advantage for being prone. But he automatically fails. Is a dexterity save?
Oh,
automatic.
Yep. I was gonna spare the dying on Buck because it's sort of like a show of good faith. But
and he's just you kind of look at Ephraim, and he's sort of just got tears streaming down his face. Like this has been probably the worst experience.
1 week after I decided I can trust this nerd, and he does this.
And that is the end of Ephraim's turn. Krogunk, who is still happy as a clam to punch people with his fist, continues his incredible attack against the still empowered, but that will shortly end, Emojis. But doesn't matter. He just powers through the force field, just full force punch. And slams Emojis in the side. Emojis takes 5 points of damage and must make a constitution throw.
Wait, what do I roll for?
So your constitution is what, +2?
Five.
That can't be right. Should be throws column.
Oh, I don't have anything there.
Yeah, three. So it's going to be a d20 plus your constitution modifier, which I believe is 3.
14.
You fight off most of the effects of the poison. You take an additional 2 points of damage, but you are not poisoned.
Guys, that's how you do it. Don't get poisoned.
That's how you do it. Barely.
I wish that I hadn't.
So Emojis is up, so your force field reaction disintegrates and goes back to normal.
Yeah, because Krogan got lucky. So I'm going to aim a fireball right in that little enemy's face.
Yeah, that little Bulbasaur.
Yeah, that little
Krogan. All right, since Krogunk is all up in your grill and Fireball is a ranged attack, you have disadvantage against hitting him.
Don't worry, Emojis, okay, you're fine. It's no big
deal. I think the safe thing would just to hit him with my quarterstaff.
Or you could go baller and be Emojis about this.
Stan's taunting me.
Stan isn't conscious. Logan is taunting you.
Okay, hold on. Fine. Because Stan's taunting me, and I need to show off. I'm gonna roll my D20 plus 6, and then my 1D10 to see if I get damage.
So you have disadvantage.
I rolled an 11. Oh, does that mean I gotta roll twice?
Yep.
Yep. I take the worst.
It's gonna be the crit fail that's the worst.
So you aim down, and as you unleash the firebolt, Krogunk slaps his hand up and knocks your hand up, and the firebolt just sort of sails off into the air, and it sort of already has a weird evil grin on its face, but you are almost positive that grin got a little more evil.
Evil intensifies.
And we have SBJ and D Pepper.
Well, we had just Krogunk.
Krogunk and a zombie. Did
you catch the Krogunk?
No, I'm not level 3.
Oh, I thought Mary was down.
No, Zombie Mary is still shambling around, currently trying to kill Wendy.
I bet we'll be level 3 after.
She's currently trying to kill Meepo.
SBJ.
What?
I bet we'll be level 3 after this combat, so maybe we just incapacitate him. Like, do non-lethal damage to the Krogunk.
You don't, this Krogunk.
Yeah, he's not a bird. Or a duck.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, he is aquatic, at least.
He's a tree frog. He doesn't go in water.
I don't think that's what a crow. I don't think they go in water. I feel like they go in mud.
He's
moist.
I have a feeling that we're going to probably rest after this since we're all almost dead. So I'm going to use Feather Dance. I'm going to tell D Pepper to use Feather Dance.
All right. There's only two targets left. So both Zombie Mary and Krogunk must save or be enticed by the dancing feathers of D Pepper. I forget what I made that save. What type of save did I write down?
That was a constant charisma this? Saving throw.
Has Stant ever seen this?
Nope.
He's going to be so sad he missed it.
So Deep Pepper starts to do this sort of crazy wrestling super dance, which is entrancing. Krogunk attempts to resist, but fails. Nice. Zombie Mary attempts to resist the enticing movements of Deep Pepper and also fails. So they both have succumbed to the feather dance, which means they have a D4 minus against everything that they do because they can't tear their eyes away from Deep Pepper.
And I yell, "That's my boy."
Meepo points his finger at Mary, who's up in his grill, but he is going to prove that he can do it better than Emojis.
All right, let's not get crazy over there.
Oh, and he can. Fires off a firebolt and hits Zombie Mary.
When we rest, don't sleep near Meepo.
Yeah. For 6 fiery points of damage. And I can math real good right now.
So wait, why was my concentration low? Because Krogan was so close?
Yep.
Oh. I blame it on Stan.
How can you blame this on Stan?
Stan
told me to do it.
Stan is currently unconscious. Stan's he would like, have a turn right now, but he's been spared from dying. You can so blame he is Logan. Not moving. He's lying there, dreaming of better days, the Pokemon that he could be drawing, unaware of the incredible movements of D Pepper.
Yeah.
If he knew, it would break his heart.
Yeah.
Nobody tell him.
Stant being such a big fan.
Zombie Mary continues the zombie assault on Meepo and tries to punch Meepo in the face. Ooh, and connects. Meepo, who only had 4 hit points left, has all 4 hit points removed and stumbles backwards, falls flat on his back in the ground, and is out.
Poor guy.
Insert really sad, depressing.
And that brings us to Wendy.
Wait, didn't he have a disadvantage? Didn't Krogan have a disadvantage?
That was Zombie Mary who was fighting.
Krogan's fighting me.
Oh, wait. Zombie Mary does get a -4. Not that it's going to matter with a roll of a 19. No. But.
Wow.
It would take 2 off. It would have only been a 17. It's still enough to punch Meepo in the face.
Okay.
Well, when my sweet, perfect son is incapacitated, there's only one thing Wendy can do.
Hulk out?
Yeah. I just look up after casting Spare the Dying on Stant, and I see Meepo go down, and I go, God, again? And I, or Xerneas, again? And I run over to Meepo, and I cast Spare the Dying for him as well.
Boop. Lovely sparkles of rainbow and wonderfulness surround Meepo, and he is spared from having to die. Buck is dead. Ephraim is still alive.
Oh, wait, is he actually? Oh, yeah, he is dead.
He is dead. Ephraim, still seeing that his former best friend is zombified and moving around, crosses the distance with long sword out and slashes and just slashes hard into Zombie Mary, and just slices right into the neck area, chopping the head off. You see sort of vines come out and try to grab and pull it back, but they fail, and it just crumbles into dust and flesh, and Zombie Mary is no more.
Also pretty metal.
And that leaves us with Krogunk.
This thing's still alive.
Krogunk, who is still happy to attack Emojis, decides to punch Emojis in the side.
This Krogunk, though.
And just...
Oh, no!
For 5 points of damage.
I don't even know how much health I have. Were I supposed to keep track?
Yes.
What?
Yes, you were.
I thought that was your job.
Nope. You are down
5 and 3. I'm down 8.
And another 5.
I don't think I have that much health.
So you're down.
Every one of my turns is gonna be running to a different one of you nerds.
So
wait, no,
I'm so glad I picked Life Cleric to play.
Hold on, if
it's so fun.
I have 2 health left.
All right, you have 2 health left. Make me a Constitution saving throw.
Wait, what? What? What?
He's poisoned. It's a poison punch.
Oh, I'm asking. How are you still up? How many HP do you have?
I have 15.
Oh,
I don't get hit as many times as you guys.
This is accurate.
I went into battle with 10, and I took 10.
So make me that Constitution saving throw, Mojis.
I'm only taking 5.
I took like 45. So thanks, guys.
Basically, I'm unstoppable until these little frogs come after me. So D20 plus 3.
Yep.
Right.
Crit fail.
Take an additional 5 points of damage and are overcome with poison and collapse to the ground.
Oh.
I blame it on Stanton again.
How many people has Krogunk downed? Like, he was directly responsible. He was directly responsible for why Stant fell over.
He's more of a
he's responsible for a lot of things.
I took extra 5 damage, so I'm down -2.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So you are at 0, and you need to make me a death saving throw.
Is that just a regular d20? Nothing,
yep, or? Just a d20 with nothing.
Success!
So.
There you go. That's all we get.
You crit your death throw.
What does that mean?
So not only do you not die,
Am I like a phoenix now?
You gain 20 levels.
You get a health point back. You are at 1 health and are awake.
Oh, it's my turn to attack.
That was your turn. You managed to pull yourself out of the claws of death.
It's still awesome.
But I crit.
Awesome. Don't look like a gift horse in the mouth, Jeff.
Yeah, you're standing up. That's so much better than what Stant had to do.
Well, I know, because...
Meepo was spared from dying. So he does not have to do anything. Logan was spared from dying. Does not have to do anything.
What about Meepo?
Yeah, he was spared.
So Zombie Mary is going to attack Ephraim.
Well, Zombie Mary died.
No.
Oh, yeah, no. Zombie Mary
did
die.
He cut
a... Oh, yeah.
Krogunk is...
Krogunk is the only one that's left alive. Correct. So that brings us to Wendy.
All right. I see... So I see Emo just start to go down, and I'm like... Xerneas, how many times am I going to have to do this today? But then I see Emo just like ready himself and get back. And I look up towards what would be the sky if we weren't underground. And I just like imagine seeing Xerneas up there. And I think, and I say out loud, so it would be pretty confusing if you're wrong, out loud, I say, thanks for getting that one. And I run towards Croagunk, one-handed Warhammer, try to get its attention away from Emojis. Oops, okay. I was about to roll in the Twitch chat. 22.
Oh, yes.
That's natural 22. No.
Solid hit.
That's every time I've attacked this round, this battle. And my damage has been pretty good. 9 damage.
All right, so you crong into the slimy hide of Krogunk, and Krogunk is very hurt, but still up.
Mm-hmm.
Krogunk had like 32 times.
Are you sure it's not a Toxicroak and you're just lying to us or something?
This is like the boss of the game.
This thing's unstoppable.
Ephraim.
This thing better start attacking me, because I have advantage resistance to poison damage.
Moves next to Wendy and to take on Krogunk as well, and just slams his sword into this evil, sadistic frog. Just anger and fury and rage just stabs the Krogunk right through the center and pulls out in Krogunk. Eyes still open, evil grin still there, collapses onto the ground.
Oh no.
Man, it sounded worse than when Ursula got stabbed with the ship, Little Mermaid.
And that is the end of combat.
I guess.
Oh man. I'd like to point out that there is one player that did not hit 0 HP tonight.
But I killed Buck.
That's true.
That was a pretty metal witch bolt.
Emojis, you only deal in crits, and that's...
So now that the battle is sort of done and quiet, and you're sort of just taking it and trying to figure out how you're going to patch people up, Wendy can hear somewhere behind the tree two sort of weak cries that you can't quite make out from where you're at.
Who hears that?
Wendy does.
Oh. I can't make out where they are?
You can make out where they are. You just can't really hear what the sound is very well. You're just sort of aware that something's back there.
Where is this exactly?
Behind the tree.
And everyone that's unconscious is like okay, right?
Yeah.
If I leave them unattended.
Yeah.
Okay, I sneak behind the tree.
So you kind of sneak behind the Tartara tree and you see two dinosaur looking creatures with giant bulbs on their back. They look kind of sickly.
Bulbasaur.
They are chained to the ground. They got big, thick collars and chains on the ground. And every once in a while, like a little bit of like spore and life energy drifts towards the Tartara tree from them and keeps the Tartara tree working.
So probably Turtwig, not Bulbasaur?
Yep, they're Bulbasaur.
Oh, okay.
so cute.
Is it going to be easy for me to get the chains off these little fellows?
Yeah.
They don't look like they're mad, right?
No, they look exhausted.
All right, I'll undo their chains then.
All right, so you sort of undo the collars and chains, and they just sort of stand next to you. They don't seem to know what to do. You get the sense that they've never been free.
Yeah.
And so they just sort of stand there.
I pet both of them, and then I know they won't understand me, but I pet both of them, and I say, hey, I got some work to do, but one of us will be back in just a bit, and you all will be fine, okay?
Zar.
Great. I walk back, and I march right up to Ephraim, and I don't think Wendy quite has the emotional intelligence not to chew out someone who just saw his two best friends turn into zombies and then have to kill them. So I just say, why did you kill him? We could have gotten information. How did you even know that was like him doing those things? He could have been overtaken by some sort of magic. What? You're even worse than Meepo. And 10 minutes ago, he killed everything he saw.
I understand you're upset.
That's putting it lightly.
I made the choice that needed to be made.
Yeah, you made a choice for all of us, is what you did.
I did.
I sort of stomp off frustrated, and I tend to the wounded for a while.
So he makes sort of a shaking of his head as he watches you stamp off, and he makes his way towards the Tartara tree and starts hacking at it with the sword.
Whoa, what are you doing?
It's what? Evil.
Are we just supposed to take your word for this?
It makes an apple that kills anybody who eats it. The seeds find people, enter their bodies, and kill them.
The people that get up and
it
kill.
Killed my best friends. Well, Andrik wasn't really my best friend, but he was a good friend.
Isn't that part of a creature? Like, that's not just a tree. Well, it's alive. You can't just kill a tree. For no reason.
I say, look,
I think he's being a little emotionally overreacting right now, and Oakheart needs to go into timeout.
Well, you can decide if you wish to persuade him off of his course of action.
Oh, yeah. I have, like, charisma max. I'm, like, cuter than anything in this.
Make me a persuasion check.
Isn't it plus six now?
Are you trained in persuasion?
Do you have the little dot next to it?
No, I do not.
Then but it's just a plus four.
Wait, it's plus four? I thought it was plus six.
It's plus four. You don't get your proficiency bonus of plus two because you're not trained in it, but you do get your boosted charisma of plus four.
So it's a d20 and plus four.
Yep.
Okay, you guys, watch me get really cute. Oh my god.
So you sort of stand up and you make your little speech, and it, reflecting back on it after the words come out, that was a lot more condescending than you meant it to sound. Yeah. And he just sort of looks at you and says, if you can't make the right decisions, I will make them.
Oh, I said if I was in combat, I'd hit him with a firebolt.
You hit him with a firebolt. You can hit him with a firebolt.
Can if you wish.
Don't do that.
But you can't.
My character kind of agrees with Oakheart here. As both D Pepper and I are lover of apples, I don't want the risk of bad apples in the world.
the reasoning is sound.
A new stand would see my point of view.
Well, this is just Logan. Stan can't say anything because he's unconscious.
Do you wish to assist Oakheart in taking down the tree?
My character does.
All right.
I will, and I reluctantly I walk up and I just say, next time, explain why you're going to destroy a thing before you destroy the thing.
Can I ask a general question? Why are we destroying a tree and not just picking the apple and, like, smashing the apple?
Because it'll grow every year.
Can we just burn it?
If you wish to set the tree on fire, you may do that as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when to ask. Everyone's just chopping away.
Someone please save the Bulbasaurs.
No, they're standing in the back.
By the way, okay, I'm submitting this. Honeydew and Melon for the Bulbasaur names.
I like that. Yeah.
So amongst those of you who are helping tear down the tree, you do successfully sort of completely bash and topple the tree.
I thought we were all hating on
it. And once it's sort of cracked and open, you sort of see the sort of dark smoke sort of pour out of the center of the tree. And then as it sort of cracks and falls apart, you just see this sort of crazy explosion of just pure, it kind of looks like 1,000 black bugs, but they don't have any substance to them, just sort of pour out of the stump and then dissipate in the air. And then shortly after, all of the remaining sort of life energy that created the healing apple sort of seeps out and pours over the battlefield. And
that's nice.
All of you gain the benefit of taking a long rest without having to take a long rest.
Cool.
So I'm all better?
So everybody is all better.
You get half your hit dice back.
And as a secondary benefit, you all go to level 3.
Yay! Yay. See, I told you.
Oh, I want it.
But all good things come with a slight cost. And as everybody's sort of waking up and feeling refreshed and revived, and sort of taking stock of what happened in the tree and sort of tending to the Bulbasaur, the entire sort of roof of the cavern begins to shake. And then you hear directly above you, and you know it's somewhere in that fortress, a sort of deep, dark, horrific laugh. And then you just hear, I'm finally free.
Oh, you have to cut down the tree.
Is it Torterra? What happened? What?
And so as you're different. All sort of recovering and you hear that horrible thing, you all become aware of Skig making his way through the grove. He's clearly focused on Buck's collapsed dead form. And you're pretty sure he's crying.
I mean, there's only one of us that speaks Draconic, so or Goblin that he speaks. So
I'm not talking to that guy. What happened? I've been out for like 30 minutes or something. It looks like everything's different.
Well, we won.
Good. Yeah. All right. So where's Buck? We're going to ask him some questions, figure out all this information we know.
We can't really do that right now because he's not really here.
Ephraim, you want to break that news?
Buck is no longer with us.
He wasn't championship material, Stant.
I mean, I knew. Yeah. No, he wasn't. But, dang.
And then, Stant, you become aware of the fact that Skig is sort of hovering out at the sort of the periphery, not really wishing to come closer.
Yeah, I guess I'll go over there.
He acknowledges your presence, but he doesn't seem to sort of know what to do. As you get closer, he looks at you and says, I did try to warn the young master. Tampering with that statue would be the end of him.
So the statue made him as crazy as he was?
He was already upset and a little off when I met him.
No joke.
But his desire to control got the best of him, and he discovered that each day he attended to that statue, he could convince more and more people to do his bidding. That sort of power was irresistible to the young master.
Yeah, that's how he does.
I'm not surprised that this was his end. I am saddened that I couldn't do more.
Hey, man, so people make choices.
Indeed.
What are you going to do?
If you will allow me to take his body, I shall bury it with as many honors as I know.
I'm not going to stop you. And I'll try to make sure they don't either.
Thank you.
Hey, y'all, let's let him give, you know, I know at the end, Buck murdered your friends and he is crazy. He was crazy. But, there was a good guy in there somewhere. He just got lost.
That makes sense to me.
Anyway, I'm on sketch these little babies to make me happy.
You do you.
And that is it for the evening. We will level outside of being on the stream, because leveling is not that exciting.
That's correct.
Cool. Well, I guess that is it. Thank you, everyone, for coming out. What we will do is we will wrap up here, and hopefully tonight I'll actually get this edited and put that out on the Dungeons & Dragonite stream. Other than that, I want to thank Travis, who you can follow at TheTravisW on Twitter. I want to thank Jeff at JJThede, and Logan, of course, at Logan Jenkins on Twitter. And our DM, Greg, is at White Wing on Twitter. If you like the show, or if you missed, what I should say is if you missed part of it or didn't catch all of it, it will be up on YouTube in a day or two. It will also be in podcast form on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. I'm going to take it to standby, but thank you everyone for coming out, and have a great night.
Bye-bye!